US President Donald Trump wants his nation to restart the testing of nuclear weapons. The US has not conducted an explosive nuclear weapons test in 33 years. This has prompted security experts to call on the president to clarify what new tests might include. US Energy Secretary Chris Wright had this to say yesterday.
I think the tests we're talking about right now are system tests. These are not nuclear explosions. These are what we call non-critical explosions. So you're testing all the other parts of a nuclear weapon to make sure they deliver the appropriate geometry and they set up the nuclear explosion.
Well, Anjit Panda is a nuclear expert at the Stanton Senior Fellow at the Nuclear Policy Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He joined me earlier.
Thanks for having me.
Can we start by going back to the president's announcement that the US would begin nuclear weapons testing? What prompted this? Where did it come from?
So I can't say for sure, but it does seem like the president caught wind of the fact that Russia had tested a couple of weapons, not nuclear warheads, but these were what we call delivery systems. So essentially a missile and a torpedo that are capable of carrying nuclear weapons. The Russians tested this, and I think for the president of the United States, that somehow caused him to believe that the Russians had tested actual nuclear warheads, which no country except North Korea has done in the 21st century. The last time there was any nuclear testing outside of North Korea, it was India and Pakistan in 1998. And in the United States, we haven't tested a nuclear weapon since 1992.
How much concern was there from the circle of experts of which you're a part?
Quite a bit of concern, because this is something that came up during the first Trump administration as well, this idea of resuming nuclear explosive testing. It would be, in my view, the surest firing shot that you might be able to imagine on the start of a new three-way arms race. I would make the case that the United States has more to lose than any country if we were to return to a world of nuclear testing. And that's because we've conducted more nuclear tests than anyone else. During the Cold War, the U.S. conducted more than 1,000. The Russians did 715, or rather the Soviet Union did 715, and China only did 45. And so if you imagine the data that China, Russia could gain from a world where nuclear testing was once again seen as permissible, they'd be able to make a lot more improvements to their capabilities than the United States would.
So what clarification have we now had from the administration?
So the Secretary of Energy, Chris Wright, did appear to suggest that the kind of testing the president was alluding to is the kind of testing that now does take place, right? So part of the confusion is about what we mean when we say nuclear test, because what we haven't done since 1992 in the United States is full yield explosive testing. That is basically the detonation of a nuclear weapon under the ground to sort of glean data about the safety, effectiveness, and the design characteristics of nuclear weapons. But since 1992, the United States does carry out essentially tests that do not result in a nuclear yield. So there's no explosion. It's a very small type of experiment that creates what the U.S. considers to be zero yield. And so, you know, you have to get a little bit into the physics of nuclear weapons to sort of understand the distinction there. But I think the confusion has really hinged on the definition of what exactly a nuclear test is. So the president himself, you know, he did an interview on Sunday where he appeared to indicate that the U.S. believes that Russia in particular is not conducting tests that are consistent with what the U.S. considers to be that zero yield criteria. And that's not a new observation from the Trump administration. The Biden administration, too, in an arms control assessment report, said that Russia was thought to be conducting these types of tests. But even those Russian tests, you know, those are not nuclear explosions. They are basically what we call, you know, hydronuclear tests, again, rather technical, but they produce a very, very small yield of nuclear fission, which the U.S. does not consider to be consistent. So this is essentially an arcane technical topic that the president, I think, has a little bit of a misunderstanding on. But of course, if this misunderstanding does persist, it could take us to a place where the United States does return to explosive testing, which, again, as I said, the U.S. would have a lot to lose from.
Anjit, how does this whole episode demonstrate about the importance of language when we're talking about nuclear weapons?
Language matters and the details matter. And so this conversation about when is a nuclear test a nuclear test is something that I think is quite important for the president of the United States to be briefed appropriately on. And you know, in particular, just understanding how the other countries around the world would gain. And look, I should add here that I'm not saying that the U.S. is likely to return to explosive testing. You know, there's only one place in the United States that could plausibly host this kind of testing on the span of around 3 years, and that is the Nevada National Security Site, near Las Vegas, which I'm sure many of your listeners have heard of. It just so happens in the last 30 years, since the U.S. stopped nuclear testing, Las Vegas has been one of the fastest growing cities in the United States. And so this nuclear test site is very close to an American city today. And so the politics in the United States of resuming explosive testing, I think, would also be rather toxic and essentially infeasible as a result for the United States to test there in any short duration.
Anjit, last week, Donald Trump also announced he'd given South Korea approval to build a nuclear-powered submarine. What are the implications of that? What do we know?
So this is something that South Korean governments have sought from the United States in the past, but the U.S. has been unwilling to go there, primarily around non-proliferation concerns. South Korea has a relatively good record on nuclear non-proliferation, but in recent years, growing parts of the Korean public have grown supportive of the country, either acquiring nuclear weapons or having the capabilities to get closer to acquiring a nuclear weapon. If the situation on the Korean Peninsula with North Korea continues to worsen, and if the United States remains unreliable. And so this nuclear submarine decision, we're still waiting for the details. We don't know who will be building the naval reactor, whether the U.S. will be transferring any new materials to South Korea. If so, that would require U.S. Congress to pass an updated civil nuclear cooperation agreement that would allow the U.S. and Korea to proceed on this pathway. But it does, I think, show that the Trump administration is applying a different set of non-proliferation standards around the world. But I'd also just note here that, the AUKUS agreement, of course, that took place under the Biden administration, in a way changed the game about how the United States thinks about these kinds of things when it comes to many of its allies. So to be determined what the agreement will mean in reality. For the moment, it does appear to be something that President Trump has unilaterally announced with few details from the U.S. side.
Angeet Panda, thank you so much for your time this morning. Thank you.
Absolutely happy to do it.